Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites bluegrassheritage.org and dictionary.com. Question number one. Why is bluegrass music called bluegrass? Is it A, the name comes from the state of Kentucky, known as the Bluegrass State? Is it B, the name is adopted from the name of Doc Watson's first band? Is it C, the name is from the color of grass found near the fjords of Ireland? Or is it D, the name comes from the sound made by blowing air through a blade of grass? Bluegrass music. Why is it called bluegrass? And question number two, why is rock music called rock? Is it A, the name is from a 17th century metaphor for the motion of a ship in rough waters? Is it B, the name comes from an early description of this type of music as hard as a rock? Is it C, the name was first used to distinguish this music from the soft jazz of the 1940s? Or was it D, the name is from the material in blackboards from the 1955 movie Blackboard Jungle? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today is the weekend of June the 14th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1843 that Norwegian composer Edvard Grieg was born. Among his most popular works are his incidental music to Peer Gynt, Opus 23, and Norwegian Peasant Dances, Opus 72. Born today, back in 1843. And it was 52 years ago today, 1967, that the Monterey Pop Festival began at the Monterey Fairgrounds in California. The festival lasted 3 days and featured stars included Janis Joplin, Otis Redding, and Jimi Hendrix. Monterey was the first professionally executed music festival. It inspired Woodstock and paved the way for modern fests like Coachella. In 1967, today, Monterey Pop Festival began. Segovia's Suite Española introduces our folk music news. It's an article entitled Spain, Rosalia, Crafting a New Kind of Flamenco. This is written by Chiara Nugent, Time Magazine, 27th of May, 2019. Hanging out in a park in suburban Barcelona in 2006, 13-year-old Rosalia Villa Torbella heard flamenco, a dramatic folkloric music popularized by Romani communities in southern Spain for the first time, blaring from her older friends' car stereos. It was so visceral. I had never heard anything like it, Rosalia, now 25, remembers. Nothing was the same for me after that. After Rosalia spent more than a decade studying flamenco, her innovations in the genre on her second album, 2018's El Mal Querer catapulted her to the forefront of the Latin pop boom. The album's concept, which draws from a 13th century novel, originally began as Rosalía's university thesis. That might sound niche, but the record's blending of hand-clapping flamenco rhythms with pop and R&B structures have earned her rave reviews and, in April, her first solo North American tour. Industry heavyweights including Ferrell, James Blake, and J Balvin have since come calling. The complex production on El Mar Querer was a radical departure from Rosalía's minimalist acoustic 2017 debut album, Los Analeses. For me, music is about experimentation, she says, citing Kate Bush, Frank Ocean, and Talking Heads' David Byrne as inspiration. I want every record I make to be different to the one before, even though I will probably fail one day. As a performer, Rosalía showcases a fierce, hard-edged femininity, both with her raw, defiant vocals and with the menacingly sharp manicures she sports in videos and performances. I see really long nails as a form of extreme, radical femininity, she says. They make me feel strong. She says she's inspired by the female characters that populate the films of Spanish director Pedro Almodóvar. This year she joined their ranks, appearing in the filmmakers Pain and Glory. The music industry has long struggled to acknowledge women's creative agency, often casting them as singers but not artists. Rosalía, who composes, writes, and produces her own songs, says she wants to challenge that. Her team is almost all women, with her mother and sister serving as manager and creative director. My generation is changing things, she says. More women are working behind the music. We're fighting for the visibility we deserve. Beethoven's String Quartet introduces our classical music news. It's an article entitled Lately We've Read. Valentin Berlinsky, A Quartet for Life, compiled and edited by Maria Matalev. This review is written by R.C. Speck, published in Quarter Notes, Summer 2019 issue, 89.7 FM, WCPE's Member Magazine. 64 years is a long time. For a person to be one of the best in the world as one task for that long is truly remarkable. As the cellist for the world-renowned Borodin Quartet, Valentin Berlinsky accomplished an incredible feat. A Quartet for Life is a collection of interviews with Berlinsky and is combined with excerpts from his memoirs and interviews with people who knew him well. Berlinsky recalls his musical life with crystal clarity from the desperate days of World War II when he was a young Soviet musician to his time in the 21st century as a revered figure in a revered quartet. Loyalty to the string quartet as the most sacred form of music is what drove Berlinsky, who died in 2008, throughout his long life. For Berlinsky, the Borodin Quartet held priority over all things. Early on, he and other founding members signed constitutions affirming their loyalty to the group. Relationships were often stormy, especially as members became tempted to leave the Soviet Union for the West. Despite touring the world, Berlinsky always considered the Borodins to be a Russian quartet. So closely did he identify with his home country. Not surprisingly, cellist Mstislav Rostropovich and composer Dmitri Shostakovich feature prominently in A Quartet for Life. Berlinski shares many anecdotes. One involves how Shostakovich ratified a mistake. Shostakovich was a famous stickler for insisting that musicians play his work according to the text. But when one, Borodin, possibly Berlinski, accidentally played a wrong note, Shostakovich loved it and rewrote that piece as a result. Another entails how Berlinski and Rostropovich conspired to cheat on an exam during their heady student days, and regarding why Berlinski once wore a lady's mink coat through customs at a London airport in summer. You just have to read the book to find that one out. Perhaps the most telling thing about Berlinski is that he never owned his cello. He never cared much for the commercial or political sides of music. He could have denounced Shostakovich when it was politically expedient to do so, or committed acts of espionage on behalf of his government, but he never did. Valentin Berlinski's greatest dedication was to music, and for 64 years to the Borodin Quartet. And in jazz and blues music news, we have Benny Goodman, Sing, 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 introduced this article. The New York jazz musician opened on this very day, June 16, 1972. The New York Jazz Museum was, from 1972 to 1977, one of the most important centers for the study of jazz. At its height, it held 25,000 items. It was founded by Howard Fisher, among others, but closed after 5 years amid a power struggle between Fisher and other curators. It was situated in its own two-story building in Midtown Manhattan, had a small staff, an archive that eventually numbered about 25,000 items, and extensive programs in New York City and beyond. Some of the programs won awards, and most of them were received with widespread acclaim in the media and from jazz fans. There were the free Calvert Extra Sunday concerts, 40 per year, sponsored by Calvert Distillers, the Jazz Puppet Show, the Jazz Film Festivals, the Jazz Panorama, an audio-visual history of jazz, sponsored by the New York State Council on the Arts, the Jazz Store, Information Center, the exhibits, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Benny Goodman, Bird and Dizzy, the bebop era, the sax section, Count Basie and his bands, Billie Holiday, John Coltrane, and the jazz trumpet. Posters and booklets were produced in conjunction with the exhibits, and there was so much more. After closing in 1977, most of the archive moved to the Schomburg Center, part of the New York Public Library, and the Rutgers Institute of Jazz Studies in New Jersey. And in music research and technology, we have this article published in Rolling Stone magazine, June 2019 issue. Brittany Spanos, the author. It's entitled The Mix, Five Easy Steps on How to Write a Fake Pop Song. Movies and TV shows about fictional pop stars need great stories and performances, but above all, They need great fake pop songs. Lady Gaga's soundtrack for 2018's A Star Is Born is a best-case scenario, but there's a whole industry of songwriters who specialize in writing hits for the screen. Number one, Know Your History. Now, Craig Wiedren, formerly of 90s rock band, Shudder to Think, found a second career creating songs for films like 1998's Glam Rock Odyssey, Velvet Goldmine, and the 80s satirizing Wet Hot American Summer series. His secret, getting seriously nerdy about period-appropriate instrumentation and studio techniques. Every era is defined by its gear, he says. It's really fun to pick apart. Number two, think like the character. You have to write as if you're in the universe, so it's from a truthful place, says Jeff Richman, who's written sincerely ridiculous songs like Muffin Top for 30 Rock's Jenna Maroney and Pinot Noir for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's failed broadcast star character Titus Andromedon. Number three, hint, don't imitate. So Connor For Real, the egotistical pop star in the Lonely Island's pop star Never Stop, Never Stopping, is clearly modeled on Justin Bieber, but the group made sure to give him a sound of his own, with notes of EDM, hip-hop, and Disney pop. We know what we're referencing, says Andy Sandberg. Number four, pay attention to the details. Some of Richman's favorite 30 Rock music moments were hidden in the background of unrelated scenes, like the fake Joni Mitchell song that his wife Tina Fey sung for a bar scene. It's one take, and she's quite good at it. Number five, finally, get serious. The best fake pop songs are good enough to find audiences outside the film or shows that they were created for. That's no accident, says Ryan Elder, the composer behind Rick and Morty's much-memed Get Shafty. It's often fun to, if the song is really legit, Elder says. It's like a straight man to the joke. Then it heightens everything. Lake Street Dive performing Bad Self-Portraits introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article written by Isaac Wheats and published in the News Observer on the 7th of June, 2019, entitled Lake Street Dive Mixes Oil and Water to Create Musical Magic. When it comes to deciphering the meaning behind Free Yourself Up, the title of Lake Street Dive's sixth studio album, there's no shortage of possibilities. Was it a request to the audience, many who have preferences about what they like to hear from the rock, pop, soul band? Perhaps it was a command to themselves to have a freer mindset in the recording booth, as the album features rock guitar and synthesizer riffs, a departure from past influences. Whatever the thought process, it was a winning game plan, as the record is the group's first top 10 charting album in their 14-year history. It debuted at number 4 on the top album chart, number 8 on the Billboard Top 200 chart, thanks to catchy single, Good Kisser. Getting radio play and performances on Late Show with Stephen Colbert and Conan. It's unusual to achieve that kind of a milestone deep into a career, but perhaps it's best to dismiss such expectations. Lake Street Dive has cultivated a fan base large enough to fill amplifiers with a sound that feels more like home in the 1970s. And they performed here in Raleigh just last week.
a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
And in local music news, we have Tracy Chapman's Fast Car introducing this article entitled Mellow Cello. Shauna Tucker blends classical jazz, folk, and more in her distinct musical style. This is written by Susanna Klingenberg and published in the June 2019 issue of Walter Magazine. Shauna Tucker can lean into her New York accent when the occasion calls for it. It was Long Island Public Schools that got her started in music, after all. But the cellist and singer-songwriter knows that roots don't tell the whole story. I tell people, I grew up in New York, but I'm from North Carolina. As her chosen home kicks off the Come Here, North Carolina campaign in what Governor Roy Cooper has declared the Year of Music, Tucker is excited to contribute to the fun, both on stage and in classrooms across the state. She chose North Carolina in part for its thriving music scene and rich musical heritage. James Taylor, Nina Simone, Dizzy Gillespie, Roberta Flack, Anthony Hamilton, the Avett Brothers, so many more. There's something in the water here. The diversity of North Carolina's musical heritage is reflected in Tucker's style. You'll hear bits of soul, jazz, samba, down-tempo pop, classical, and folk. She calls it chamber soul, a nod to her classical training, but also a description of the intimacy she nurtures with fellow musicians and listeners. That intimacy is embodied in her story-forward lyrics and warm stage presence, full of honest backstory and a deep appreciation for her audience. She used it to draw listeners to her as if she was saying with a wink, come here, listen to this. Her sound is described as a mix between Diane Reeves, Joni Mitchell, Tracy Chapman, who's singing in the background now, and Bill Withers. But however you describe it, the joy in Tucker's work is this. Her beats make you groove. Her lyrics make you nod in recognition. And her wide-open love of music make she come back for more. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, why is bluegrass music called bluegrass? Was it A, the name comes from the state of Kentucky, known as the Bluegrass State? Is it B, the name is adopted from the name of Doc Watson's first band? Is it C, the name is from the color of grass found near the fjords of Ireland? Or is it D, the name comes from the sound made by blowing air through a blade of grass? Correct answer. Answer A, named after Kentucky, the Bluegrass State. As noted in bluegrassheritage.org, the people who migrated to America in the 1600s from Ireland, Scotland, and England brought with them the basic styles of music that are generally considered to be the roots of bluegrass music as it is known today. As the Jamestown settlers began to move out into North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia, they wrote songs about day-to-day life in the new land. Since most of these people lived in remote areas, the songs reflected life on the farm or in the hills. This music was referred to as country music or mountain music. The invention of the phonograph and the onset of radio in the early 1900s brought this music out of the mountains and into the homes of people all over the U.S. The Monroe Brothers were one of the most popular acts of the 1920s and 30s. Bill Monroe was a native of Kentucky, the Bluegrass State, and he eventually adopted the name Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys for his band. This band started a new form of traditional country music. Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys first appeared on the Grand Ole Opry stage in 1939 and soon became one of the most popular touring bands to emerge from Nashville's WSM studios. While many fans of bluegrass music date the genre to 1939, most believe that the classic bluegrass sound came together late in 1945, shortly after Earl Scruggs, a 21-year-old banjo player from North Carolina, joined the band. Scruggs played in an innovative three-finger picking style on the banjo that energized enthusiastic audiences. And the answer to our second question, why is rock music called rock? Is it A, the name is from a 17th century metaphor for the motion of a ship in rough waters? Is it B, the name comes from an early description of this type of music as hard as a rock? Or was it C, the name was first used to distinguish this music from the soft jazz of the 1940s? Or was it D, the name is from the material in blackboards from the 1955 movie Blackboard Jungle? And the correct answer is answer A. The name is from a 17th century metaphor for the motion of a ship in rough waters. As noted in dictionary.com, the phrase rockin' and rollin' is a metaphor used by seamen from the 17th century to describe the motion of a ship. Alan Freed, a disc jockey in Cleveland, Ohio, later used the term in his phrase, the rock and roll session, to describe the amalgamation of rhythm and blues and country music he played during his show. So let's close out today's program with an early example of this music that owes its name to the motion of a ship on rocky waters, Rock Around the Clock, by Bill Haley and the Comets from that 1955 movie, Blackboard Jungle. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.